I think that video is a little gem, a little work of art. Much like a poem or a painting or a short story. I left the end on, I could have edited it out, but it was clearly produced as an advertisement for the Thai Life Insurance Company. And part of their mission in the world, they claim, is to increase the value of life. There were over 400 comments following that video on YouTube, and many of them noted that they made the person cry. It's a strange thing to me that videos like that can make me cry. Many different kinds of videos have that effect on me. I was watching a video of Pete Seeger the other day, and I find myself welling up with tears. I was moved by the beauty and the grace of a life well lived. The ability to touch our emotions can be described as poignancy. And the word poignant is derived from a Latin word meaning to prick or to pierce. Something that is poignant has the ability to pierce our tough outer skin, to trigger our emotions and a bittersweet response. The degree that we're moved by emotional experience varies greatly from person to person in its degree and in its nature. But connecting with our natural human emotions is a spiritual experience. When we are moved emotionally, we are connecting with something that is bigger than our own ego. I'll return to the message of this video later in the sermon. This happens to be the last sermon in January, the month when we've been, where our Sunday services have been dedicated to the theme of resilience. We started the month talking about the difference between being strong and being resilient. And then Reverend Helen McFadden talked to us about how resilience is more than a characteristic of an individual, but it's the product of a community. And we went on to talk about how traumatic experiences in life can result in spiritual growth, even at the same time as they produce lingering and debilitating effects. And finally, we explored the experience of the Druze, religious denomination from Syria, Lebanon, and Israel, and we reviewed their perspective on resilience. Today, in my final sermon on the topic of resilience for this month, I want to talk about promoting resilience in others and how that can be a spiritual experience for each of us. Promoting resilience in others involves helping the other person, but it is much more than just helping. As I searched these videos the other night, so that I might have one to use in the service, I came across many videos about helping others. Most of those videos focused on a one-time act of charity, usually giving money to someone who needed it, paying for a meal in a restaurant, paying for someone's groceries in the grocery line when they didn't have the money. Such actions are indeed worthy deeds, but the concept of promoting resilience is much deeper than that, and it requires more of a commitment. A gift of material or money, while it can certainly help in a crisis, can lead to dependency rather than to resilience. Promoting resiliency as a spiritual exercise is a difficult concept, much more difficult than doing a good deed. Such giving in the way of a good deed often does little to make a connection between the two people involved. It's a transaction more than a relationship. And as such, it lacks a spiritual component at times, since connection and relationship are at the heart of the concept of spirituality. So then maybe it's obvious that if you start to make this promoting resilience part of your spiritual practices, you should be forewarned, because it requires relationship. It requires time and commitment. It requires personal engagement. And a word of caution here. There are good reasons why we often confine our relationships to people in need to giving material gifts. People in desperate circumstances can be dangerous to others physically and emotionally. Interacting with such people requires considerable skill. It can only come from training and experience. But fortunately, we can choose who we interact with, and as such, there's no excuse for shutting ourselves off from all such interactions. We have the opportunity to gain those skills and to gain that experience in the process. See, gifts of money and material frequently exist in a relationship of power, where there is a significant gap between the power of the giver and the power of the receiver. And that power differential can be a barrier to an authentic relationship. The idea of promoting resiliency as opposed to doing a good deed is as old as the proverb about giving a person a fish versus teaching a person how to fish. So is there really a difference between someone giving or teaching someone a skill and giving them a material gift? Even if that skill is resilience. Well, even in the case of teaching, it could be argued that the teacher is in a position of power over the students. But in my experience, it never feels like that with a good teacher. And a good teacher gets as much joy out of teaching as the good student gets out of learning. The teacher-student relationship is much more a case of reciprocal benefit. I look back on part of my training now, my training for a minister, as training that was intended to promote resiliency in others, or to learn how to promote resiliency in others. It wasn't presented that way at the time, but that's the way I see it today. That portion of my training was the time I spent in something called clinical pastoral education. That's the training as a hospital chaplain. This work can be arduous, often involved 24-hour shifts, when the student was the only chaplain in a large urban hospital, in my case, downtown Atlanta. In this situation, the student chaplain is called on to be with patients who are facing terminal illness, life-threatening surgery, to be with mothers whose children have just been stillborn, or children who have died shortly after birth, to be with family members who are stricken with grief following the death of a loved one. This is a crucible for learning how to promote resilience in others. The chaplain is striving to do more than comfort a person with their presence, although sometimes that's the best that can be done. But the real goal of the chaplain is to, in some small way, increase the resilience of the patient or the family member so that they can cope with the experience that they're going through. Promoting resilience in others is done by helping others to see their strength, the strength that exists within them, by reassuring them of their inherent worth and dignity, by helping them to see how their lives have meaning, and by offering friendship at some level. In a 2013 article by Susan Silk and Barry Goldman, they proposed a model for how this work can best be done. How we can be with someone in need of support in the most effective way. They called this model the Ring of Kvetching. Kvetching, as most people would know, is a Yiddish word meaning complaining in a persistent and colorful way. You can visualize this model as a series of concentric circles. At the center is the person in need, the patient, the person who's suffering, the person whose resilience needs to be supported and strengthened. The next circle out is the person or two who are emotionally closest to that person at the center. Think here about spouse or partner or best friend. The next circle out might be their children or their parents. In the next few rings will be other family and close friends. And from there on out will likely be rings of colleagues and distant relatives and acquaintances. The trick is to honestly assess which circle you are in. And then here are the simple rules. Comfort always flows in towards the center. And complaints or kvetching is allowed to flow out. The person in the center gets to talk and complain and whine and rage to their heart's content. The job of the people in the other circles is to listen to that person with compassion and with understanding. Now, this holds true for those in the more inner circles as well. They can share whatever they want to or need to with people who are in circles beyond theirs. And the people in those outer circles need to listen and simply support the people who are in more inner circles. Comforting flows in, fetching flows out. It's a nice model, and it works well as a general model. But outside of the hospital setting, it's a little more difficult to apply. See, a chaplain can assess from the information that he's given about those circles of support, and as a professional on the scene, the chaplain can determine where he stands in those rings of relationship. If you're dealing with someone you know well or with a member of your own family, you'll be able to do the same, to assess where you are. But when you reach out to an acquaintance or a friend who may not be aware of the circle, you may not be aware of the circles of support in their lives. And the sad truth is that many people in the greatest need have very little in the way of circles of supporting individuals. Often the very lack of resilience that you're trying to address is totally enmeshed with the history of dysfunctional relationships that have isolated the individual from people who might otherwise be filling those caring roles. So let me take you back to the video now. Of course, in a 3-minute video, there is no time to delve into these levels of support. But one thing was evident from the ring of kvetching model. Comfort flowed in, and complaining kvetching flowed out. There is so much in that short video. I'm sure you noted the role of serendipity. Because of his awareness and observation, the water pouring suddenly onto his head becomes an opportunity to improve the world. The role of laughter and humor is woven through the story. Personal, emotional commitments, and the role of anonymity, the ripple effect from the spiritual connection, the change in those observing your action. I've seen that person, the guy who was standing in the shop when he was giving money to the people on the streets, shaking his head. I've seen that expression so many times. And the change in those observing your actions. The process of passing it on. There were characteristics in the relationship portrayed that went beyond charity and good deeds toward the building of resiliency. In the span of that 3-minute video, I saw the main character interacting with several different people, even a dog and a plant, all on the basis of an ongoing relationship. The interaction was not a matter of giving a gift one time, as was the case with so many of the videos that I viewed. The main character was not doing random acts of kindness. He was developing a relationship with the people he was helping. He was strengthening their resilience. The video makes it clear that this is a spiritual practice for the main character. We see him in a Buddhist ritual of bowing. In Buddhism, bowing is a physical expression of the Buddha's teaching. It is a dropping away of the ego, whatever it is that we're clinging to. It isn't an act of self-abasement. It's rather an acknowledgement that self and other are not really two separate things. Prayers in Western tradition can also be undertaken not to change the external world, but to change the person who is praying. And so it is with the spiritual practice of promoting resilience in others. The video asks the question, what does he get in return for doing this every day? and it answers, gets nothing. He won't be richer. He won't be a bit more famous. What he does receive are emotions. He witnesses happiness. He reaches a deeper understanding. He feels love. He receives what money cannot buy, a world made more beautiful. And so my wish for you is that you find and act on opportunities in your life to promote resilience in others. And in the process, I hope you'll find a world made more beautiful. Maybe so.